Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 27th day of February, year 2022. I am Commander and Pastor Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Signs of the Times. And, of course, this is referring to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my, I lost my place here. Okay. hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsman, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Embith. And of course, callers will be welcome. We do ask that you maintain, you know, proper decorum, watch language, don't talk on top of other callers, etc. And we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted until such time as they indicate they wish to speak. And then we answer those in the order that they're given. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we do draw your attention to a few pages, like the Daily Mail page, where we try to keep up-to-date information there, the home page, where you find out a little bit about us, and also you can see how you can help us out financially if you wish to do so or led to do so. And let's see, we also have a Contact Us page there where if you do not have my phone or personal email information, you can send a note to us from that point there. For the shills that are out there, and we don't have many, but there are a few out there that try to send me some rather comical, denigrating information through the website. I pretty much delete those as soon as I can tell it's from a shill. I don't even read the whole thing. So if you want to waste your time sending them to me, go ahead, but I really don't care at this point. Signs of the times, and again, Matthew 24 is where we're at. Maybe it's me. I don't know, but boy, oh boy, it seems like people are just coming apart at the seams here lately. And that was part of the reason I picked this topic for today, plus some of the emails and things that were sent to me this morning talking about, of course, the trouble over in the Ukraine and just things happening in general. Yahweh is dividing everybody exactly as the prophets told us. He is sending literally a sword to divide our people. It's just incredible. Whether it's coworkers, family, longtime friends, neighbors, people are just acting so bizarre lately. And that's why I wanted to go into Matthew 24. There's a lot of information in Matthew 24. So we're going to primarily talk about the first two or three subsections, which start at verse 1 and go through 14. And then maybe down to 28. But it's just, I don't know, I shake my head at times. It's like, what has happened to common decency, common respect? People have become so self-centered, selfish, so to speak, narcissistic of late. Except for Yahweh's people. So, again, it's dividing the wheat from the chaff, or, if you wish, the wheat from the tares, meaning the weeds, the toxic weeds. And here again, my prayer of late has been, show me the truth about these people, because sometimes I can be deceived by people. that appear to be friendly, appear to want to know the truth, and yet really they're players or they're gaming you when that's not what they want at all. They want something for themselves. Again, being very selfish, narcissistic, it's all about them. You know, our people in the beginning were very community-minded, very racially minded, because the family and the race are one and the same. Everything in Scripture points to that. And yet there's people that denounce all of it, and yet they think they are believers. They think they are following the way, meaning the Christ, and yet they turn their backs on literally everything that he said and the Scripture through the prophets say. And really, if you think about it, what the Holy Spirit should be telling you, real time, meaning right now, today, this moment. In the book, it says that Spirit testifies to the truth. So if you're listening to the program and the Spirit's not resonating with you that there's truth being told, you should flee. I've never begged anybody to listen to any of these programs, not once. I dedicated this program on the very first broadcast to the truth and nothing but the truth, as we know it, as it is presented to us, as we learn it together, line upon line, precept upon precept. Never once claiming to be, quote, perfect, but perfect in our attempt to dig out the truth amongst the ocean of lies and misinformation, so that our people would be better armed for this day. And I had no idea things would be this chaotic when Yahweh decided it was time for the end of the age. And boy, oh boy, nobody saw this coming. We knew that the satanic forces would do something despicable. But I thought it would be, as Pastor Greg and others have told me, we have thought it would be much more subtle. But it's not. It's in your face, obvious, which I say hallelujah. That makes it great for the believers, because this is like obvious what's going on. Whereas for the unbelievers, those who don't follow the way, there's mass hysteria and confusion right now. And it is causing weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And now the latest staged event is what's happening in the Ukraine. It's completely staged. So again, we're going to go through Matthew 24 here quickly, and then I have a few other notes I want to cover. If at any time somebody has something on their hearts that they wish to share, please feel free to call in at any time. We can take a break from the reading and answer the questions. We actually do have somebody right up off the bat here. So let me see if my software is working pretty good today. Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Oh, great. Everything's working today, thank goodness. Knock on wood.
Almost. I'm having a couple issues here. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Your volume's a little bit on the low side.
All right. Let me fix that. Hold on a minute. Give me a second. Okay. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Yep.
Okay. Good. Great.
How are you doing this morning?
Good? I'm doing good. Yeah, it's a beautiful Sunday morning.
All righty. Now, did you have something you want to get right into, or do you want me to go ahead through Matthew 24 and then we can pick up?
Go through Matthew 24. Great.
Okay, buddy. Hang on then. I'll leave you active on my end. If you want to make noise or talk or whatever, just mute at your end, okay?
Yep, no problem.
All righty. So anyway, folks, again, that's Keith out in Washington State, west coast of the United States, and we'll get Keith back on with us here in a second. But this is out of the World English Bible, and this says that Yahshua foretells the destruction of the temple. We'll start at verse 1. Yahshua went out from the temple was going on his way, his disciples came to him. Doesn't say everybody now. This is his disciples, the 12 that walked with him, to show him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these things, don't you? Most certainly I tell you, there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Now stop here and think about this. Now remember, everything is spoken allegorically, practically everything. So there's a literal part of this as he's standing there by the temple looking at the stones, but there's a deeper message in almost everything Yeshua told us. So you see all the institutions of the world, which the temple represents, big, strong blocks being held together with mortar, etc., you know what I'm saying, and seeming indestructible, as in the governments of the world, as in the ultra-rich oligarchs, which is a euphemism for the Jews that control the financial sector. Okay, you've got the princes of the different kingdoms of the earth, which is your Putins and your so-called Biden administration and Boris Johnson. All of them are part of the cabal, and they seem insurmountable. They seem like, who can war against the beast? And yet, Yeshua says, I'm telling you that not one stone will be left upon another. In other words, it will be all leveled at some point. And we're going to see that. Then it gets into, starting at verse 3, signs of the end of the age. As he, meaning Yeshua, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? What is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Notice this translation gets it right. It doesn't say end of the world, as I've heard a few of these pseudo preachers talk about. The world isn't going to go away, folks. The end of the age is going to happen, but not going away. So at verse 4, Yeshua answers them saying, "Be careful that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying," quote, "I am the Christ," or the anointed one, "and will lead many astray." Can you say Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland or John Hagee or the long list of other televangelists and fake phony preachers out there? "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all this must happen, but the end is not yet." Now let me stop here for a second. I got a lot of information over the last 24 hours that almost everything you're seeing, especially through the mainstream sources, is completely fabricated about what's going on in the Ukraine. I listened to a report from a gentleman that actually is in Kiev, and he tells a completely different story than what you're hearing. Russia is not invading the Ukraine to destroy it the way the United States destroys worlds. The long list of things we've bombed into oblivion. Instead, the Russians are going in with the attitude of only taking out military targets with the least loss of life, with the idea of the Ukraine being saved completely and becoming part of their alliance. But the oligarchs, especially the Jewish oligarchs, be driven out of power. Because the Jewish oligarch, meaning the Zelensky, the Jew over there, is giving weapons to civilians. And why would you give a bunch of military-grade weapons to civilians? Because he wants the visual. He wants the Russian army to shoot civilians holding automatic weapons that they don't even know how to use, some of them, because it'll give him the visual he wants. Because he wants, as a Jew always wants, just as they did to get us into World War I and World War II, they want the visual of the Russians being aggressors and shooting civilians so that you will send your sons and daughters to bleed on the battlefield for yet again a Jewish war. You see what I'm saying? It all makes sense. So don't be led astray. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all this must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation, ethnos, now remember, ethnos typically is talking about race, just like the word ethnicity, okay? Ethnos is talking about races or groups of people. So racial groups will rise against racial groups, and kingdoms, here being countries, against countries, and there will be famines, plagues, and earthquakes in various places. Again, the Greek words here talking about these three items are not always literal. Sometimes they are very figurative, meaning there'll be chaos, as in famine of the truth. Okay, we do have a famine of the truth. Most people, at least in the Western nations, eat food every day, and most of them look like they could lose a few pounds. Okay, now there are people dying of actual famine in the world, but not in the white world, not in the land of the Caucasians, the Israelites. Plagues, now plagues here can be plagues of things like race mixing. That's called a plague. Plagues of people being jabbed with toxic serums so that Jews can make money through the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry. Okay, so there's a form of a plague also. Plagues of lawlessness, etc. And earthquakes, meaning a shakening, as in the geopolitical realm. Okay, so that's what it's talking about, not just literal as the image in your brain comes up there, because our people don't speak Greek or even Aramaic. But all these things are the beginnings of birth pains. What's the birth that's coming out from all this travail? The kingdom, the weeding out of the derelicts amongst us and the bringing in of the kingdom for the righteous. Then they will deliver you up to oppression and will kill you. Now, in the Greek, this word here, kill, does not necessarily mean slay, as in dying, the body dying. It can be severe oppression, okay? Putting you under stress, trying to persecute you. Those are all the connotations of the Greek word. And here we just put the simple English word kill, so you're reading it, and it thinks that you're just, every one of you that's in this end-of-the-age scenario, they're going to kill us. They're going to... No, that's not what it's saying. Severe oppression. You will be hated by all of the ethnos, for my name's sake. You know, Christianity, even though that's the incorrect term to use, the followers of the way, Christianity, used to be called the white man's burden. Do you understand? The white man's burden. Why? Because we are his people. We are his administrators. We are to live according to the law, to be an example to the others. And in this world, living according to Yahweh's law is harder than hell. Let me tell you, having come to know the identity truth many years ago, my life at times has been hell, trying to get along with the non-believers. And I'm talking about people of our own race, even people in churches, etc. Because if you try to present the truth to these truth haters, oh Lord, they will bring heaven and earth upon your head. Go into a Baptist church and try to teach them the truth about race mixing. Go into a Methodist church, try to tell them the truth about the Jews and race mixing. Those two items alone, let alone all the other items. I am an anathema to a whole family of people up in the north central United States, because one of the members of their family listens to the program and believes in it, but all the other members are Jew-loving, money-loving, materialistic, atheistic, baby-murdering people, and they think I am a monster, literally calling me a monster because I speak out for white rights, etc. Do you see what I'm saying? So when Christ tells us these things, you should know It is for real, and we are in birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to oppression. Well, I did talk about that. And then many will stumble and will deliver up one another and will hate one another. Again, I just talked at the beginning of the program about the fact lately people seem to be coming unglued. Even members of my own family, people in my own neighborhood, things I'm hearing is it's just unbelievable. But again, those grounded in truth, honesty, integrity, Holy Scripture, they're not falling for any of this. They're not losing their minds, but everybody else is. They're into drugs, they're into alcoholism, they're into over-medicating. Many false prophets, prophetes, will arise and will lead many astray. Oh boy. Televangelists, the mainstream churches, the Roman Catholic Church, boy, the list goes on and on and on. And of course, the mainstream media. Because iniquity will be multiplied, the love of many will grow cold. Again, this goes into what I've just been saying. All around me, the love of people you've known for decades. And again, I'm talking about close friends, neighbors, family members. It's like, where did they come from? What the hell is going on? Well, it is hell. But he who endures, this is the message to you, ladies and gentlemen. But to he who endures to the end or the termination of this age, the same will be saved. Now, the world wants us to think our destiny is to be beheaded and killed and slaughtered. I go back to Psalm 149, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, and many, 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 many other Psalms and Proverbs to let you know that that's not our destiny, ladies and gentlemen. Our destiny is to be overcomers, endure to the end, because this is painful. I'm telling you, I talk to people every single day, and many, if it weren't for their faith and knowledge of the word, they would consider suicide. I know they would, because it is that painful walking in this world, watching people you care so much about walk off the edge of the cliff. How many of my own personal friends and relatives, I told them not to put that poison in their body. I even told them about a family member who's got a very important job, high-level job, and she works amongst people who are also high level, even higher than her, who are part of the staff in the medical profession. From the beginning, these people warned this family member not to put that serum in their body or allow them to test her. Right from the beginning. And yet, I can't tell you how many friends and family have that poison in their veins. The good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the people, races, nations, and then the end will come. Why is that? Because Yahweh gives everybody a chance, at least once in their life, to come face to face with the ultimate truth of Yahweh and his word before he will destroy you. He will not destroy anybody without at least one chance to come to the whole truth. Now that's people above the age of 20, because until the age of 20, a child is covered by their mother and their father. So if that child dies prematurely, if there's a person to be blamed for their spiritual state, it will be mom and dad, because it's our job, not the government's, not the bankers, certainly not the kikes, the Jews. And by the way, I had a friend yesterday ask me, what the hell does kike mean? And I guess a lot of people don't know it. It comes from the Yiddish word kikel, which means a circle. because when the Jews first came to America, they detest the Christ and Christians so much they would not put a X or a cross on the ledger when they got off the boat because they couldn't write in English. They didn't know English. So the Kikes would put a circle. That's how much they detest anything that even remotely looks like a cross. They put a circle, which is a Kikel. And so the Anglo-Saxons at the docks and all where they were getting off just shortened it to Kikes. He's another Kike, okay? Now, they'll tell you, oh, you're an anti-Semite. You're denigrating a fine people. Well, wait a minute. They put a circle because they hate Christ. Okay, now wait a minute. You guys love Christ, but you embrace a people who hate Christ. You even call these Christ haters his chosen people. Do you see the ludicrous hypocrisy with that whole notion? So I use the word kike in the way it was meant, just like the word nigger just means black. It can be pronounced like the Latin niger. But in English, in many places, they botched the pronunciation, and it's become the word nigger. In fact, most black people use it even more than white people or any other race. So when I hear the word nigger, I do not think of any derogatory term, because that's what the Jew wants us to think. I simply think of it as the Latin form of black. Just like the word negro is from negras in the Spanish, because what does negras mean? Black. So when you heard the word negro, it was just using the Spanish form of the word black. When you hear nigger, it's like niger, which is the Latin form of the word black. I can remember back in the 70s, well, you can't use negro and nigger anymore because you have to call them black. And now today, you're not even supposed to point out the fact that they are different. You can't even use the word black. That's how silly and totally ridiculous our world has become. All right, Keith, you got anything to add, buddy?
Yeah, Dan. Matthew 24 is a great passage for today because I think we're in that realm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just bring up Romans 1 here real quick. You know, you mentioned our people, how they're... they're changing, right? They're embracing evil. They embrace false news reports. They embrace false teachings. They love all this stuff. And Romans 1 kind of sums this up here. We'll start Romans 1:29, talking about the our brothers and sisters here. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. That pretty much describes our people, doesn't it, Dan?
Very close.
Yep. Here we go. We're going to continue on. They are full of envy. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? The keeping up with the Joneses model, right? They envy their neighbor's new car they got. They envy their new motorcycle they got, their new home, their new clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. Sums it up to a T. They are gossips. Right, that means they talk about other people behind their back, right? They're always gossiping about other people, even their so-called friends. Even our people's own so-called friends, they talk behind their back to other friends. Everyone's
yep.
heard it. Okay? They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. They despise our Father, most of our people. They despise Him. Insolent, haughty, right? Women walk around like whores nowadays, the way they dress. I was watching I came across a TikTok video last night, and I forget what website it was posted on. I don't go to TikTok, but every time I come across a video, I find it interesting. Anyway, supposedly in a resort area in the U.S., I'm not sure where it was. It might have been up in L.A. or somewhere like that, where there was a so-called social media star, and this girl was literally dressed like a prostitute. Okay, she had this short, low-cut half shirt on. Her breasts were basically hanging out of the top of it, and she had a skirt that literally just covered her ass. Excuse the language, but I've got to, you know,
right.
You have to get the visual here.
Exactly.
Okay,
a short,
tight black skirt that barely covered her butt cheeks. So what happened was one of these creatures, some mixed mongrel, decided to go up and grab her ass. Well, the girl, and this was a very pretty white girl, very, very, very attractive white girl that was grabbed by this mixed mongrel, some Dominican creature or something like this, some mixed up monster, grabbed her ass. And she flipped out on him, and it's on video. Now, most people in the comments were saying what a terrible man this guy was, this, that, and the other thing. Now, my outlook on it was she deserved it. If you're going to dress like a whore, you will be treated like a whore.
Amen.
I mean, the way these girls, these teenage girls, and these women are dressing nowadays, they literally look like street-walking prostitutes. And they will be treated like a street-walking prostitute. I don't understand what the problem is there. Anyway, moving on. I think people get my point to that. So they will be haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful. Boastful is an understatement. These people are our people, and the other creatures out there are so full of themselves that's all they care about is themselves. They don't even care about their own families. They don't even care about their own children. They care about themselves. Inventors of evil. Disobedient to parents. Have we seen that one? Have you guys been to any stores lately with these children and their parents out in public? Are you kidding me? How these kids talk back to their parents? I used to get the backhand smack. All right, I never talked back to my parents. Are you kidding me? I would have gotten smacked so friggin' hard in the face that my head would have spun. Well, that's part of the problem today, right, Dan? No one disciplines their children.
Amen. Can I inject something here,
please,
that would add to what you're saying?
Please.
Yep, just yesterday, one of my close relatives had a birthday, a lady, an elder, in her mid-60s. And a young person in the family, 22, sent her a text saying, "Happy fucking birthday, aunt, blah, blah, blah." And I thought that was a mistake because I know this individual, and I thought that's very out of character for a young man to send to a elder lady of the family. So I said, I'll bet that was like auto text or voice to text, and he just forgot to proofread before he hit the send button. And later in the day, they met up for dinner, and other family members came to the dinner and whatnot. So they asked him, did you mean to send us? Oh, yeah, why? So in his mind, and the word insolent comes up as you were talking through those verses, in his mind, it was appropriate to send a text to an elder of the family saying, "Happy fucking birthday, aunt," whatever. I mean, and this guy normally is more polite and more courteous than most of the young people I get to meet today. And yet this same individual sends a text like that and thinks it's okay. You see what I'm saying about people today are just, it's causing my head to spin. I also got a note from Ella here, who's the retired nurse in our listening audience, and I wanted to give this out real quick and then go ahead with what you were saying, Keith. Foundational effect of the jab is installing hydrogel antenna technology, HAT for short. This aided by the 5G networks, sets up an external body communication using artificial intelligence. This changes the thoughts, causing erratic behavior. So that's her explanation for some of the behavior that we're hearing. So go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, that could possibly be true. I don't know too much about it, but sounds about right. So we've got here, disobedient to parents, foolish. How many people are these? How many people are foolish out there? Complete fools. Complete dumbasses. Faithless. Huh? Faithless, that's an understatement. The only faith these people have is faith in their dollars in their pocket. Heartless. Again, they could care less about anyone but themselves. They have no empathy for any people, not even of their own family or children. It's disgusting. And ruthless. How many of these so-called business people out there, right, these wealthy business people, they go into a company, they buy up all the voting shares, and they close the company down or fire everyone, such as a la Mitt Romney, Warren Buffett, and all these other scumbags?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's how they produce money. They don't make anything. They tear down to produce money and destroy people's lives who have worked at a company for 20-plus years. They go in, and it's called a hostile takeover, right? And they take over the company, and they fire everyone. Nice people. Really nice. Some all for a dollar. All for a shekel. All for a token of money. Right? They do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. How many of your friends give approval to these so-called capitalist business people? They think they're wonderful. They think the Warren Buffetts of the world and the Mitt Romneys of the world and the Donald Trumps of the world are wonderful people. They don't even understand these people's business model. Their business model is to destroy people's lives and destroy perfectly good companies that are honest companies. They destroy them. And all of your friends, and maybe even some of you who are listening to this, I hope not. I know none of the people in chat are like this, but someone who might come across this, you think these people are good people. You think Warren Buffett's a genius businessman. You think Mitt Romney's a genius businessman. Well, it's the exact opposite. These are disgusting destroyers of all good. I don't even know how any other way to put it. So Dan, that's Romans 1. I thought it was just funny. I've got Romans 1 bookmarked today. I've got Romans 9, Romans 8, and Psalm 58 bookmarked today. My wife goes, how about Matthew 24? I go, Dan just discussed Matthew 24. So we're on the same page again. Double witness, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable how this stuff falls into place. Anyway, I figured that was appropriate. I didn't know it was going to be appropriate, but it seems to fit with what Dan was discussing a little bit earlier, which is kind of funny when this happens. So that's Romans 8. Our people have to snap out of this, Dan. They really do. Which brings me to my next point, which goes along sort of with this. Our people are generally good, right? They're generally good. They're not born evil. But there are people who are born evil. This is told to us in Genesis 3:15, right, Dan? There are people who are born evil. They are of the serpent seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Psalm 58:3 kind of reinforces this this point of view where there are people who are born evil and can't be helped. And I'll just read Psalm 58:3 very quickly, just one sentence here. So we can pick any translation here, but we'll just go with the New American Standard Bible, right? We'll just go with that one. It's easy to understand. The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. We'll just go ahead and read the King James just for the heck of it, too. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
Yep.
So,
the Old English Bible's very close, yeah.
So this is, telling us that people are born liars. Well, people go, well, how can people, I thought they're all good. People are all good. How can a little baby be born a liar? Because they're of the serpent seed. Their DNA is tainted with fallen angel DNA, satanic DNA. They are born evil. That's why these people can lie so much. They can actually get on the television, lie directly to your face, and these are not small lies. These are lies that are told to do actual damage to you, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally. These are big lies. Okay? So that proves it. Stop believing that everybody is good and they just go astray because of the environment they're brought up in, because they have no money, because they grow up poor. This is all untrue.
Right.
All untrue.
Vicki, let me read the last two verses of Psalm 58.
Yes, please.
The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men shall say, most certainly there is a reward for the righteous. Most certainly there is an Elohim God who judges the earth. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, so people are born wicked. They're born evil. If you haven't grasped that concept yet, well, you better, because this is not a fight between Republicans and Democrats. It's not a fight between red and blue. It's got nothing to do with that. This is about good versus evil. Those of you who support evil and think that all these evil beings, I don't call them people, these are beings. Sometimes I slip up and call them people, but I have to correct myself. These are evil beings that walk amongst us in shoe leather. Okay, the person standing next to you at the line in the grocery store could be of the serpent seed. Okay, it means it's an evil being standing next to you. Now, most of us can figure out who's evil within the first 30 seconds or 10 seconds we meet them. Okay, have you ever met a person before and, you know, you introduce yourself to them, or they to you, or a buddy introduces them to you, and you just get a bad feeling about them, or there's something off about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there having a conversation, and maybe you're at a bar or something, you're having a beer with them, okay, and the night ends, and you go home, and you say to yourself, boy, that was kind of a weird situation there. And you never contact the person again.
Yep.
Okay, it's because your gut instinct is telling you that that person is evil, that they're of the serpent seed. Then other times you go out and a friend introduces yourself to somebody and you hit it off with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, that was a cool guy. Wow, Jim's a really cool guy. I think I'll call him again. Now, why is that? It's not what they've said at the table, because most people say benign things when they first meet people, right? It's benign conversation. You talk about the weather or you know, something benign, right? You're not getting into hardcore identity lessons at the table when you first meet somebody, right? You're not talking about World War II and Hitler. You're talking about benign things. Well, why is that? Because you've got a feeling in your body. You know. You absolutely know. Okay, it's a gut instinct that we all have. Follow your gut instinct. If your gut says the person is bad and evil, that person is bad and evil. Go away from them. It's not worth it. Anything to add to that, Dan?
Yeah, I wanted to read Romans 8, verses 18 and 19 here real quick. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed toward us. For the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of Elohim God to be revealed. That's also where we talk about the world is in travail waiting for the sons of the Most High to be revealed, is another way of putting that. So the creation, meaning all creation, so the plants, the animals, and certainly all the races are in eager expectation for the sons of the Most High to be revealed, which goes along with what we're saying about the world progressively gets worse and worse because the Antichrist Jew is virtually running the world. I just found out the other day when somebody questioned about, I put something out about Zelensky being Jewish, and they wanted a source, so I went and found a source for him where the Jews themselves are bragging about the fact that the Ukraine is run by a Jew. So here again, whether you like Putin and the Russians or not, the fact that the Ukrainians have been run for quite some time now by a Jew, and it's evident by the way the Ukrainians are treating the ethnic Russians who they hate. The Jews hate, they almost hate the white Russian as much as they hate the Aryan German. And so they have been prosecuting, persecuting, and even killing people in the Donbas and Luhansk regions of the Ukraine, which are predominantly Russian ethnicity. But it all makes sense when you find out that Zelensky is a Jew. He's operating just like a Jew, just like Macron is a Jew in France, who's doing everything anew to destroy France. Boris Johnson's aligned with the Jews, and look what he's doing to England. And Trudeau is Jewish, and look what he's doing to Canadians. And we have nothing but Jews running the United States. And we, for the past, I don't know, at least 100 years, are the most bloodthirsty people on earth under Jewish domination and fighting wars for these damn Jews. Back to you, bud.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Let's continue in Romans 8 here. We're going to go back up to Romans 8. Need my glasses. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh, this goes more into how there's an evil seed line and a good seed line on the planet. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. I'm going to read that again. This is so important. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It is incapable of doing it. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Moving on, Romans 8, 9, talking about us, his people. Here we go. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, excuse me, let me reread that. I'm missing my punctuation here. I'm sorry. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. What? Did you hear that? Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. You can't go out and buy this Spirit. You can't go out and look for this Spirit. This Spirit, you are born with it. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is the life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, again, you can't buy this Spirit. You can't go out and rent it. You can't look for it and find it. It's in you from before the foundation of the world, right? It's in mm-hmm. you. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who has raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Do you get it? You can't find this spirit. You can't look for it. You can't go rent it. No one can give it to you. You can't pick it off a tree. The spirit of our Father is inside of you from before you are born. It can't be changed. You can't get either you have it or you don't. It's like an athlete, right? A superstar athlete. They either got it or they don't. You can't mm-hmm. train for it. You can't hit 8,000 baseballs and become a superstar home run hitter. It's either in you or it's not. They will tell you that you can hit 800 baseballs and become a star baseball player. That is a lie. Just like it's a lie when the preacher at the pulpit says that you can become one of God's children if you just do this. God's children are born to him. There is nothing that you can do or anyone can do to become one of God's children unless you are born with the Spirit of God. Dan, back to you.
Yeah, excellent points, Keith. I want to go back to Matthew 24:22. Unless those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the sake of the chosen ones, those days will be shortened. And then I'm going to continue on here. Then if any man tells you, behold, here is the anointed or Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For there will be false Christs, false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. But behold, I have told you beforehand, and so then you are not to be deceived. So anyway, more proof on what you're talking about. Again, everything we're finding out, everything is upside down. Everything is not what we've been trained or taught from childhood. I look back to my days in grade school, middle school, high school, a year of college, even training in the military, training in the industry that I had a career in, and I think of how many things we were told all through that period of time by the mainstream churches, the mainstream media, the institutions of government and health, and you find out they lied about everything. People need to wake the hell up and stop believing. I mean, who in his right mind is still listening to people like Fauci and the rest of these morons? Who in his right mind would listen to anything coming across mainstream media? Or the mainstream churches, let's put them in there too. I mean, it's just, to me, it's like mind-boggling that there's anybody that follows any of those anymore. And yet, like you said, there are those who just don't get it. Now, let me ask you a question, Keith, on your point of view on this, because it comes up in many, many discussions. The children, obviously, are those, as you said, born to be his children. But what about the other races on the earth? And I always go to what it says about those who bless Abraham will be blessed and those who curse Abraham will be cursed. Let me get your take on it.
Okay, well, I'll revert to Romans 9, 5, or we'll start with Romans 9, 4. They are Israelites. Okay, he's talking about his kinsmen. Paul's talking about his kinsmen. Remember, Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, correct? Okay, if you don't know that, learn this. It's very important where our people come from. Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. He goes on to say, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. So Paul is telling us, Israelites, does he mention anyone else here? No. Moving on. To them, again, he's talking about the Israelites, to them belong the patriarchs. And guys, this is why I read the English Standard Version. If you don't have the English Standard Version Bible, go get a hard copy of it. This Bible is the most accurate there is. What they've done is they've taken the King James and they've put the King James into English Standard, right? English Standard Version. So the way we talk today, that's all this Bible is. And here's the important part. Okay, again, talking about the Israelites. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Okay? So, Dan, I think this answered your question. What about the other races?
Well, I didn't mean as far as being part of the covenants and the promises. I meant there are some who are teaching that only white people will be amongst those saved and everybody else is cursed automatically. I'm talking about if they are obeying God's law and they bless us and support us, just like the woman in Matthew who was not an Israelite and she wanted her daughter to be saved, and because she acknowledged she was a dog, which means a non-Israelite, he said, your daughter is healed, and your faith has caused me to give you this gift. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. The other races, to me, if they behave themselves, if they follow God's law, if they acknowledge the position of the Israelite men and women, that's us, then they deserve to be at least blessed. In other words, watched over, cared for, etc., not to be put down simply because they're not of our kind. That's what I was talking about.
Okay, I got you, Dan. Yeah, so that is true. It's written, right? It's true. It's written. But as far as that goes, that I believe that's an earthly thing.
Right.
You know, they will be blessed in this life here. You know, which means they will live a decent life. You know, they will have a family and a good occupation, and they'll get along with other people, and they'll be able to mix with society and meld in with society the way our society should be. They'll follow. You know, they'll know right from wrong. They'll do good instead of bad. But that's the extent of it. And I flip-flop back and forth with this one. I flip-flop back and forth with the other races, where they come from, who created them, what their purpose is here. I flip-flop back and forth because I can't put my finger on it. Because, again, in my life in public, I have met many non-white people who love Jesus, who know more about the Bible, you know, the common, you know, Judeo-Christian outlook on things, right? They know more about that than our people know, and they pray, and they are nice people. I don't know how else to put it. I've got neighbors of mine. My neighbors are Mexican. They're very nice people. They've got two little boys. They're friendly people. They've never done anything bad to me. They've only been nice to me. They bring me on Christmas. They bring me over Christmas cookies. You know, they say hello. We talk outside in the yard. Hey, man, you need anything? You know, guys always ask me if I need anything. I turn around and say, you need anything, let me know. So I don't – it's a very difficult topic, Dan, for me anyway.
I look at it simply much based on Matthew and other verses where the non-Israelite was blessed by our people. And even in the parchments, it talks about the fact that Abraham and his descendants would be a blessing to the world. It doesn't say a blessing only to fellow Israelites. It says the world. Okay, so, and we are a blessing. I mean, look at the history of the Caucasian race. We fit the description of the Israelites, loving, caring, and sharing people, to a fault sometimes, because there are those who walk this earth, and particularly here I'm talking about the Jew, who does not deserve our loyalty and our loving and our caring and our sharing. They don't. They're criminals. As a people, they're criminals. Are there exceptions here and there? Yes, and those exceptions, I believe, in some cases anyway, they're not actually Jews by race. They're people who find it fanciful to call themselves Jewish. So they're probably Aryans or some other race, but they find it fashionable or profitable to, quote, align themselves with Jews. Whatever the case may be, we have to be able to discern this. And again, this is why Messiah constantly said, judge them by their fruits. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you don't have a clue who the racially pure are around you. You don't have a clue. Most of your DNA outfits are run by Jews. Are you going to trust that solely? Or are you going to listen to what Messiah said? I don't need a Jewish-run DNA lab to let me know when somebody's behaving Christ-like and not. And that goes, as Keith has quite appropriately said, it's the same for me. I've got people in the community here who are obviously not Caucasian, and yet they're some of the most kind, helpful, never asking for something in return like money or, hey, I gave you a dish of potato soup and where's my potato soup? No, you do an act of kindness because it's an act of kindness, not because you expect something in return, because then it's not charity. You're just simply quid pro quo. I did something for you. What are you going to do for me? Okay, so I agree. It is a conundrum only in the sense that we've been listening to some of these so-called identity people and teachers over the years, and I can name a whole list of them that had me confused for a long time, who want to turn this into a DNA thing only. Now, DNA plays a part, no doubt about it, but it's not a DNA thing only, like some people are trying to say. So I go back again to what Messiah told us. You walk uprightly among men. You're my disciples. You're my ambassadors upon this earth. You lead by example. I expect you to represent me every day of your life. Now, when you come in contact with these other folks, now you have to pull in what I'm training you to do, which is, what are these people's fruits? You don't care about their words. Because people are good at hiding, and especially the Jew, hiding their true intentions with the sophistry and the alchemy, so to speak, with the language. They turn language into a weapon. Sorcery is another term for it. And the Jews are masters at it. Saying something that sounds so pure and good, but if you start analyzing what they're saying and put the judgment of their fruits with it, you soon see it's the serpent trying to tell you that this is a good thing, such as this vaccine, they're calling it, when it's really not a vaccine. They're using word sorcery, word alchemy, to deceive people into doing something very harmful. They are masters at it. But again, Christ gave us the clue. Judge them by their fruits. And again, part of judging by the fruits is follow the money, as in Fauci putting millions and millions, sometimes they even say billions of dollars, in his pocket and his buddies, his fellow Jewish monsters on this earth, putting it into their pockets, getting people to put this toxic serum in their body. So as the Jew always does, he's making money with selling you the toxin, but he's also turning around making money running the hospital, clinics, and pharmaceutical industry who claims they're going to help you with your problems that they created in the first place. I mean, it's like being that hamster on the wheel. It just never goes anywhere. People that get caught in this Jewish lying trap just can't seem to get off of it. Well, you can't get off of it till, one, you love the truth. That's got to be the first thing. And then as you seek the truth, of course, you got to go, whoa, wait a minute. Fauci. Number one, a smarmy-looking piece of shit with a track record that looks like a criminal rather than somebody in the health industry. That's bad enough on the face of it. But then you find out he's got Jew blood in him. Okay, now, is he operating like a serpent seed? Yeah, as a matter of fact, he is. Deborah Birx, same thing, serpent seed. Her tongue, when you see her mouth moving, just picture a snake sitting in front of you with that darting tongue coming out. If you keep that image in front of you, now you can better decipher what these monsters are saying and doing. But if you don't love the truth, if you don't seek the truth, then you're going to fall for the lie. And that's really, to me, that's what the scriptures are saying. But I constantly go back to, if you have a conundrum over these other races, simply do what he told us to do. Walk uprightly among all men, even amongst the kikes. You, yourself, you adhere to the law. You walk uprightly. But he said, be as wise as the serpent and as innocent as the dove. Who's the dove? Our Father. So wise, wise, meaning, okay, serpent, I know who I'm dealing with here, and your tongue is moving, so that means you're lying or deceiving. And so I'm going to be wise as the Nakash serpent, but I'm going to be innocent as the dove. I'm not going to give in to your wanting me to get into your pornography and your drugs and your illicit sex and your prostitution and your mainstream television and all the other things that have the Jewish fingerprints all over them. I'm not going to give in to those. I know where they come from. I know what they lead to. Does that make sense, Keith?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, it says it there, right? To know them by their fruits. This is why, you know, at the end of the age, Christ will separate the wheat from the tares and the sheep from the goats, because we don't really know who the sheep are and who all the goats are and who all the wheat is and who all the tares are. You know, you could have a genuine Israelite Caucasian white person who has gone astray and has done evil, but they're still pure, for lack of a better term, pure-blooded Israelite. So if let's say you take them out of this world, well, that could be a mistake. So that's why Christ says that he will separate, not us. He will do it because we don't know. Lots of these people, and I've had talks with people in the past, and I've said to them, how do you know you are a pure Israelite? How do you know? Nobody knows. People who claim to know are full of shit. The only person who knows is the Father. People say, well, look at my family. Look at your family. You're going back 50 years. You got a picture from 50 years ago? And that's what you're basing your family lineage on? What about in the year 1070? Did one of your relatives get raped by a Muslim monster? Okay, or in the 1500s, did your relative get raped by a Muslim monster? Because if they did, well, that means that your line is no longer pure Israelite. So you better be careful. Anything to add to that, Dan? Because that's an interesting topic, too.
Yeah, it is. And it gets back to my point about judging people by their fruits, okay? And there's one other additional thing. my children hear my voice.
Ah, right. Good point. Very good point. Yep.
So if you, as far as you know, you're hearing the voice of the Almighty, that's one, a sign of conversion, because Paul and the other apostles talked about that. A true believer in the way shows the sign of it. And part of the sign of it is not only a change in your character and behavior, but the fact that you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we're given that tidbit to know that we are his sons and daughters. I've had many, many people come to me over the years, very similar to what you're saying, Keith. They're going, well, my family says that an American Indian was part of our heritage, or some Brazilian married a great-great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother, whatever, and blah, blah, blah. I said, but do you hear the voice of the Almighty? Does the Holy Spirit administer to you and encourage you to obey his law? I said, if you're hearing the Spirit, you're here at this assembly, and this happened before the internet. If you're coming to this gathering of Israelites, you look purely Aryan to me, and you're hearing the voice, and your mannerisms here at this assembly has been absolutely 100% of Yahshua, well, then why are you worried about it? Because if you're hearing his voice and the Holy Spirit's administering to you, you're part of his sheep, period. You don't need to go any further than that. You got to remember, nothing in Scripture says anything about using modern technology to figure any of this out. So the whole DNA thing, or, well, you know, my ancestors say this, or none of those things apply. We got to get back to the basics of what Yahshua taught us and look at that, because we walk amongst many, many people, and again, if somebody obviously is not white, like I've seen people in the park here, they have Negroid features but with light skin, or they're obviously Mexican or whatever, but some of them are some of the nicest, most polite people I know. However, I don't see their behavior behind closed doors. I don't know that they don't go to meetings with other Hispanics and talk about the day when we're given the signal and we take out our weapons and kill every white person we know, like the Haitians did to the French a couple hundred years ago or thereabouts. Okay, so the Haitians rose up and murdered every Frenchman on Haiti. Every single white person was either murdered, or in the case of the women, many of them were blinded and then made into prostitutes. Okay, that's what they did. Virtually every white person on the island was either murdered or turned into a sex slave for the blacks that were there. So,
I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, we've been given the keys to figure this out if we pay attention. I wanted to read something from our nurse, Ella, here, who put it in here, and I think because of what's going on, we need to pay attention to these sorts of things. She's put some text here. COVID is the Trojan horse of deceit. The goal is the vaccine. The pathogen, the so-called virus, doesn't actually exist. The artificial intelligence system must be injected into you. You don't pick it up from casual contact and all that stuff. It has to be put into your body. Graphene oxide is the key to removing humanity by shutting off the pineal gland, which is assisted by the 5G towers. These 5G towers must be de-energized. They need to go away. There is safer technology to do all the things that we want to do, but they're not using it because this is all part of a weapon system. She says here also, the graphene hydroxide that you're hearing about is the so-called razor blades, and that's part of what's causing the fast death by elevated heart rates, et cetera, with the athletes and people like that. So just some medical advice coming from Nurse Ella about the chicanery and the nefarious activities going on, which again aligns with the scriptures we've been talking about, all the nefarious things being done by bad actors in this day and age. Back to you, Keith.
Yeah, you bring up some good points there, Dan. And I think, well, I'll end that portion of the topic with this. As Dan said, know them by their fruits. Here's the general rule of thumb, in my opinion. If they look white, act white, and produce good fruits, works, whatever you want to call it, they're probably one of our people. If they don't exhibit those things, they're probably not. That's the best I can sum that up, Dan.
Right.
I don't know how else to sum it up. I'm not going to go around and say, you know, this person's not white. This person's white. Okay, that would not make any sense. The Mexican fellow next to me is pale white. Okay? The guy is white as white, but if you look closely at the facial features, you can see the Mexican there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got another guy. We used to go to a restaurant rather frequently. This guy was a manager there at the restaurant. Looks white, acts white, but he's Mexican. Very nice fellow. Me and my wife have been to his house for dinner with his family.
Right.
I didn't know his last name was Gutierrez. Okay? Before
right.
that night. and it was funny when we went over there that night. I thought he was a white guy like us, right? I didn't know his last name was Gutierrez. I just knew him from the restaurant as Nick. And this fellow, we went over there, and his daughter was about to go to college, a special program. They were sending her to Italy for overseas study. And they said that in order for her to get into that, they claimed on the form Mexican ancestry. So why I bring that up is that the other races will use their racial status as an advantage to them. They told me they did this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll use it as an advantage to them. Now, if a white person did that or a white person said that, it'd be like all holy hell breaking loose, right? But they brought it up like mm-hmm. it was nonchalant, right? You know, we're Mexican. We put down we're Mexican and get her into this program. So judge them by their fruits. If they look white, if they act white, and also their works are good, chances are they're white. Now, if a white-looking Mexican person is using their Mexican racial aspect of their ancestry to get into a special program and take it above a white person, even though the white person is more qualified, well, that's their works, right? That's their fruits. It's bad. That's
right.
Not right to do.
Right.
So he looked white, he acted white, but his fruits, his works didn't show that he was white.
Yeah, it reminds me, as you were talking, there's a scripture that talks about that the mamzer, which is the Hebrew word for a racially mixed individual, will not enter the congregation even to the 10th generation. Now, did that mean literally or figuratively? We don't know. But to me, what it's saying is that the person that has had some sort of admixture in there, it will take at least 10 generations to breed that admixture out of them. Now, that's the way I look at it. Other people say, no, once it's been tainted, it's tainted forever and ever. And again, like you said, how do we know what our ancestors did 7,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago? We don't. So I look at that scripture as telling us that a minimum of behaving correctly, in other words, staying within your own kind, at least for 10 generations, can overcome that. Perhaps that's what it means. But here again, you have what we've been talking about. The judgment of their fruits is far more important than trying to worry about that particular verse. Because even if the race is pure and you don't exhibit the traits of the Almighty, which is good works, well, then what does your purity get you? Absolutely nothing. So it's not just a matter of the purity of the blood, it's the purity of the soul that's within the body. So you got to have both. You can't have just one. You're not going to get into the kingdom like some people teach simply because your blood is pure white, and yet you act like a complete jerk, and you're an ass. All right? No. I'm sorry, but it's a twofold thing. You have to be a child according to the ancestry, but you also have to exhibit the working of the Spirit within your body. Because if you don't have the Spirit, that means you don't have the conversion, because you did not seek the face of the Almighty. That's where conversion comes from. Circumcision of the heart, not your reproductive organs. Circumcision of the heart, so that you can allow His Spirit to indwell within you. Because if it's not dwelling within you, you're part of the goats, people. I'm sorry, but those are His words, not mine. I know everybody wants everybody to be saved or to come through all this and everything else, but I'm going to tell you something. We all have family, friends, and coworkers that aren't meant to make it. Are you listening to me? We all have family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers who aren't going to make it. Period. And it's not because of prejudice, white supremacy, white privilege, or anything that the Jew media puts out there. It's got to do with the fact that they don't have His Spirit dwelling within them, which is the conversion spoken of by the disciples and Christ Himself. So that's where you get your discernment from, by watching their behavior. How do they dress? How do they talk? What are their priorities in life? Do they exhibit what they talk about? In other words, talk is cheap. Do they actually do what they talk about? Do they actually have charity? Do they actually lift a finger to help somebody else? Let me ask you, do you think a pure narcissist is a child of God? I don't think so. Not in my book. How about you, Keith? I don't know.
There's a term out there. There's a term out there called Shabbos Goy, which is basically supposedly a white person, or we'll even throw in another Asian or black person, who does the bidding of the serpent seed Jew. Call him a Shabbos Goy. Now, here's another way to look at this. Remember, know them by their fruits and their works, right? Lots of these politicians who are referred to as Shabbos Goy, meaning that they are people claim that these are white people, right? 100% pure Caucasian white people, Israelite people. They do the bidding of the Jew, meaning that they will plan wars. They will plan economic collapses. They will participate in all the evil that the serpent seed does. They love it. They live on it. They thrive on it. They take their money, okay? Now, my whole thing with that is I don't believe that those politicians are of our stock. I believe that there's no such thing as a Shabbos Goy. They are actual serpent seed, just like the Jew is. I used to believe...
Right, and they're pretending to be one of the sheep.
Right. I used to believe that they were Shabbos Goy. I believe that there's no such thing as a Shabbos Goy. You are either evil or you are good, and your works will show it. So all of those politicians... And that's every single one of them, guys. Every single one of them in the House of Representatives. I'm not talking about the local dumbed-down idiot on the local council. I'm talking about the real politicians, the people in your House of Representatives, and your Senate and your president, there is not one single Israelite, pure stock, white person in those positions. And how do you know that? Because of the works that they do. If there was nowadays, they would have spoken out like Lindbergh did. And I'm drawing a blank now, but some of the other older politicians from way back when were speaking out against these people, right? Only those people are of our people. The other ones, people claim that this Newt Gingrich character is white. People claim that this Rand Paul character is white. People claim that this Ron Paul character is white. Really? Show me their works that prove that. And not their false works. Not yelling and screaming about auditing the Federal Reserve. Not holding phony Senate hearings with the criminal bankers and letting them off the hook and just boasting and drilling them with questions in the formal room and the behind the wooden podiums and desks. This is all theater bullshit. Okay? They're not our people. You're being fooled again. Remember, the devil's very sly. The serpent is very sly. These are not smart. They're clever. They're sneaky. They're full of deception. Okay? None of these Congress people, none of these senators, none of these presidents are of our people. These are all serpent seed demons. No one can tell me any different now.
In fact, the Word Web Dictionary has under politician, one of the definitions, and politicians don't like us knowing this, but the third definition is a schemer who tries to gain advantage in an organization in a sly or underhanded way.
Yeah.
Fits your definition perfectly.
Yeah, these are not, they're not white people. People say, oh, Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson? You think he's on our side? Are you kidding me? How much does Tucker Carlson get paid a year for the past 10 years? You don't think Tucker Carlson makes millions of dollars a year? You don't think he's got enough money, family money, to retire and never work again, of generational money after being paid millions of dollars a year for the past 10 years? Are you kidding me? He's a liar, a thief, and a murderer. Because he supports all of those things. None of these people are good. None of them. There's not one who's good. Not one. I'm sorry to say, I'm sorry to break the news to you, but there's not one as good. What about Paul Craig Roberts? Well, I'm sure some of you are familiar with that name. He's another phony serpent seed. Lou Rockwell. Really? There's another one for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are all, if you're making money, if you're making money off of any of this, you are not of God. You're not of our people. I'm sorry to say, because you can't be, because you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. If you knew the truth that we know, and you know the truth is true, for lack of a better way to phrase it, then how the hell can you sleep at night if you know this and aren't screaming about it at the top of your lungs if you have a platform? All these people have a platform, guys. All these senators have a platform. You know who's one of the only senators in recent time or Congress people who have spoken out against these Jewish creatures, these criminals, these mass murdering monsters? Was that black lady from Georgia? I can't remember her name, Dan. You know what I'm talking about? The Black House of Representatives?
Cynthia McKinney.
Yes, Cynthia McKinney. All of the so-called white people in Congress, all these cowards, these little dweeby cowards, who I would love to punch each and every one of them in the face and knock their teeth out of their mouth. It takes a black woman from Georgia to speak out and tell really what goes on when you get elected to the House of Representatives or Senate. Can you imagine this, Dan? A black woman.
Yeah.
We've got all these.
I'm on her email list. Yeah, I'm on her email. She lives overseas now. I think she's in the Philippines, but yeah, she was a congressman in Georgia, and you know, she led the charge to awaken people to this oath of loyalty to Israel that Congress people take. I mentioned that to somebody. They had no idea. They didn't know they do that. I said, yeah, it's been out for years. They actually, when you go into Congress, you sign a loyalty oath to a foreign country, Israel. And if you don't do it, then they put all their money power behind your opponent in the next election. And they do everything to disenfranchise you and take away your power in Washington until they get rid of you, which is what they did to Cynthia McKinney, too, or McKinney.
Right. So there you have it. I mean, right. Dan, there you have it. There's no other explanation for this. I'm sick of people. I'm sick of people telling me that these people are good, that they're doing good behind the scenes. They're not doing anything. Do you know that I could have done what Ron Paul did? I could have done it. I've got a high school education and maybe a year of college under my belt, if you add it all up together. I could have done what Ron Paul did. You know why? Because he did nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, what do you mean he did nothing? He's telling us we need to audit the Federal Reserve. We need to grill the bankers. Grill the bankers? The bankers own his ass. Grill the bankers. Are you kidding me? The guy never did anything. And you fall for this stuff. As you're learning the truth, right, you go through different, or I did anyway, and lots of people I know have who have gone through the truth, is they encounter these gatekeepers, right, we call them. Ron Paul was a gatekeeper. Paul Craig Roberts, gatekeeper. Alex Jonestein, gatekeeper. Jesse Ventura, gatekeeper. Although Ventura did come out and mention some interesting stuff, so I'll give it to him. I might put him partially on the list. All these people are gatekeepers, they called, right? Because they tell not the whole truth. Henry says Mike Adams. Yes, Mike Adams is another gatekeeper. They tell partial truth. They don't tell the whole truth. Anybody who's just telling a partial truth to make money is a liar. Let's not forget that. It's not that they're telling partial truth. It's that they're a liar. Do you see the difference?
Right. Right. Deceivers.
Okay.
Yep.
Deceivers. They're making money off of this stuff. Mike Adams makes money off of this stuff that he reports.
Right.
People say, if he was reporting it, who would be? Well, I've seemed to have managed to find people who don't make money off this who report stuff. They're all over fucking TikTok. Okay?
Yep.
So, and take your other social media platforms. They're all over the place. There's lots of people with websites who don't make any money. A great website is for identity is called OutsideTheBeast.com or AgeOfLaodicea.com. A guy made up this site. He's not making any money off this stuff. So don't tell me that's a cop-out, guys. You always think that, that there's always going to be a savior out there. There's always going to be someone coming to the rescue. The only person coming to the rescue is Jesus Christ. There's no one else coming to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
You think these Dan, I got to step out for one minute. I'm sorry. After I get back, I want to talk about the convoy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Give me 30. Give me 1 minute.
Okay. Go ahead, bud.
Okay.
In the meantime, I'm going to let you know. You know, there's a lot being said about this Klaus Schwab and his so-called Great Reset, where he says you're going to be a renter, you won't own anything, and you'll be happy. And everybody's up in arms that this is impossible and what a disastrous thing to say. Let me repeat something I've been saying since my eyes were open to many truths in the latter part of the 1970s. Hey, folks, You've been there for decades. While you were partying and not paying attention, you have been enslaved and a renter only your entire life. And why do I say that? Well, do you own your car? Who tells you what to do with your car? And if you don't have a license plate on it, can you drive it? If you don't have it insured in the system, can you drive it on their, quote, highways? Do you own your car, or does the bank own your car?
I'm back.
So you don't own your car because you can't do with it as you see fit. You have to buy it the way they say, and you have to insure it the way they say, and everything else is the way they say. Do you own your house? Hell no. Most of you have a mortgage. The bank owns it. The bank tells you what kind of insurance you must have. I was just told recently that one lady has a house, and my daughter just told me her house. The mortgage has almost doubled recently due to, quote, insurance increases. Oh, wait a minute. Who owns the banking? Oh, that's right. Kikes. Who owns the insurance companies? Oh, that's right. Kikes. And do you own it? Hell no. If you don't pay your annual property tax, which was another Jewish item added to our burdens on our backs, who comes and takes your house for a few, sometimes as low as $25 in back taxes? They can take your property. Did you own it? Hell no. When you buy a piece of ground and you want to put up a barn and some cattle on it, and here comes the county telling you, oh, we zoned this residential only. You don't own anything now. You haven't owned anything in my lifetime. And you're going to get upset because this piece of shit, Klaus Schwab, another freaking kike holier than thou, dressed up like Darth Vader, and you're getting upset because he's telling you the obvious? You already gave up your freedoms. You don't own a goddamn thing today. You can't travel where you want to, put up a dwelling, have some cattle, put in a garden without some bureaucrat coming up and telling you you don't have a right to, because a bunch of Jews in the local county government or the state government say that you have to comply. You're already a slave. Wake up.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Go ahead, Keith.
That's the truth. You're already a slave. Pull your head out of your ass and wake up. That's why I want to touch on these convoys a little bit, Dan, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, the convoy up in Canada. Here's the deal, guys, and this is just my opinion, right? I think about this stuff a lot, though, and I flip-flop back and forth a lot because I get new information. So I could have one opinion one day, and a couple hours later I could have another opinion because more information comes in. So you always have to have – your opinion is going to evolve, and your and the facts are going to evolve. So you have to manage your thoughts on these things on a daily, if not hourly, basis when more information comes in. I have always thought, since I've been involved with this stuff for about – going on 12 years now or so, I've always thought it was the most ridiculous thing to go out in the street and hold up signs. Protest, I should, let me phrase it this way, peaceful protest are useless in my opinion. Wouldn't it, imagine if you put it to you this way. Imagine if you were Justin Trudeau. You were running Canada. You were a big scumbag running Canada. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people just showed up and held signs? You're holding signs on the street corner. F Trudeau. Give me my freedom. My guns. My country. Waving the flag, chanting your chants. Boy, what an easy thing to handle. All you got to do is just wait for the people to go hungry. Wait for the people to get too cold. And they just go home after a while. So all these protests, these convoys, yeah, in theory, they're wonderful. It's like a sporting event for these people, right? They're on the – take the American one. You know, the Canada one's already disbanded, I guess. So that's over up there. Okay. So did it work? Well, it worked for the bad guys. They seized bank accounts. They arrested people. The one lady's facing 10 years in prison. Boy, that was all worth it, wasn't it? Waste of time. Well, people say, well, that's a bad attitude to have. You got to do something. Really? Doesn't it say who can make war with the beast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the American convoy since the Canadian one's over already. And the only thing it accomplished was the usual. You saw police beating in heads. I guess they trampled two older women with horses, and the one lady died or something like this. Because they want to be peaceful. They want to look at these cops as, oh, they're just like us. The cops are just trying to feed their family. Are you friggin' kidding me? Any cop who's still on the force now, who is enforcing Justin Trudeau or any other maniac's rules, regulations, and orders, is the enemy. They are the enemy and should be treated as such.
A good case in point for what you're talking about, actions rather than protest carry weight. Justin Trudeau, the Jewish faggot up there, rescinded the Emergency Act because Canadians were pulling their money out of the bank so fast that they told them to back the hell off, that they were going to ruin the banking system up there. So rather than protesting on the highways, they went down and did what they could do locally, and everybody made a run on the banks to pull their money out of the banks. So that had more effect almost instantly than all the protesting and sign waving ever did. Let me ask another question. When Phineas saw that the leaders of our people were engaged in sexual immorality and leading us into the pit, did Phineas go outside the tent of the prince that was inside having sex with a non-white? Did he go outside with a sign and denounce him and say, screw you, prince, and we need to rise up by the thousands and stand out here with signs? Or did he pick up a javelin and do something about it?
He took care of business, Dan. And that's what, when people take money out of the banks, you could have done away with the whole trucker thing and just organized it from your computer. People could have organized, hey, make it nonchalant. Go down to the banks today, take all your money out of it.
Right.
Right, because that would affect the system, right? Standing out there with a sign on the corner doesn't do anything. You know, it says, who said this in this? Ralph says in the thing, you know, started taking their money out of the bank and it has disrupted the plans for the digital ID. Well, not really, Ralph, because as people are watching the convoy up in Canada and everything that's going on there, lots of states, including red states, I got the article, I bookmarked it last night. They're already implementing in our country, in the U.S., they're already implementing the digital vaccine passport thing. As we're watching that, more states, let me try and find this article here. I'll read it to y'all. Okay, these people are very tricky. They want you doing this stuff. But, yeah, take all the money out of the banks. Ralph is right. That's how you hurt these people. You take the money out of the banks. Right? You don't stand on the street corner with signs. This is reported from Forbes. Forbes reported this just the other day, yesterday on the 26th. Okay? Everybody's watching the truck convoys, right? It's a distraction. Nobody's paying attention to what's really going on and what's really important. Here we go. It's called the Smart Health Card Accessibility by State. This is your vaccine passport. It's called the Smart Health Card. It's going to be on your phones with a QR code. As we're watching the trucks, let me count the states here that have implemented this so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 states in our country have already implemented. They're already ready. It's all set up. It's ready to go, called the Smart Health Card Accessibility by State. Do you understand what is happening yet? Do you get it yet? Nothing has slowed down. They've shifted. Be wise as serpents, right, guys? Well, we're watching the trucks. They're getting all set up to flip the switch on for these digital health cards, vaccine passport, mark of the beast, whatever you want to call it. Okay? This is from Forbes, guys. Did you hear that, Dan? What's going on here?
Oh, I saw the articles, yes.
Okay. This is insane what's happening. We're watching trucks go down the road. You're kidding me, right? You know what's going to happen when these trucks get to D.C.? Look out for a false flag. Okay? When these trucks get to D.C., watch out. They pull a false flag. Look out, guys. It's going hot. As Dan says, they are not stopping. You're not going to stop this. Well, don't be such a downer, Keith. You have to have some hope. I've got hope in Jesus Christ. I've got no hope in any man. Well, what are we supposed to do? Simple. Pull your money out of the bank. Stop shopping at their big stores. You have to do little things. Get your family prepared for when they roll out this vaccine passport. It's not going away. Okay, they've got too much invested in this. They've invested thousands of years into this moment. Thousands of years. This just didn't come about in 2020. Are you kidding me? If anyone believes that, you're sleeping. You're completely asleep to what the hell is happening here. People think that it's going to be over because we have some trucks roll down the street with signs that say, "Let's go, Brandon. F. Biden." What are we, in kindergarten? It's always like a sporting event to these people. The good guys versus, you know, the Democrats versus the Republicans. No one's coming to save you. It's all taking place just as planned. Nothing's going away. Those of you who didn't know this is happening, you better wake up. You better figure it out. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. It's not going away. You're not going to stop it. Here's my suggestion to you. Because I have a feeling there's going to be a false flag. There, anyone who donated to this trucker thing, you're going to have your bank account seized. Okay?
That's
what are you
already happening, right?
What are you donating to? Okay, what are you donating to, guys? You're donating to a thing that's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. It's going to cause more problems for us. You know what the problems it's going to cause? You think the supply chain is broken now? Wait till the trucks stop moving for 3-4 weeks. There's going to be nothing in your grocery stores. Nothing at all. You can go out and buy food today. Go out and buy supplies today. You're going to need them because there's going to be nothing in the grocery stores. Who do you think brings the food to the grocery stores? The owner-operator, independent truckers do. This phone here. So go to the grocery store. You want to help yourself? Tell your neighbor. You want to help your people? You want to help your family? Don't tell them to donate to the trucker convoy. Tell them to get to the grocery store. Get more ammunition. Get more security at your house. That's how you do this. That's how you combat this. You ain't going to beat the beast system. You can't beat the beast system. If you beat the beast system, the Bible's false. You might as well throw it away. The beast system can't be beat with except by Jesus Christ and his army that's coming. Did you forget to read Revelation? If you haven't read it, I suggest you go read it. Study it. Learn it. Live it. Breathe it. Because that's what's coming. We're in biblical prophecies unfolding now as we speak. Okay?
Yep,
forget about these convoys.
Sure.
Yeah, in the back of your head, well, we might have some hope, right? I hate talking like this because my wife is over here, and I don't want to scare her with what's coming. I know what's coming. I've been given the downloads of what's coming. So have you people in the chat here. You know what's coming. You know what has to be done. You know that holding signs does nothing. You know that this trucker convoy is only going to hurt the everyday people, our people, because there's going to be no food in the grocery stores. There's going to be no supplies in the stores to run their businesses with. You know deep down in your heart that that's what this is about. Who organized this trucker convoy? Who's the people behind it? Where are all these truckers getting all this money from that they can take 3-4 weeks off from work? Who's doing this? What's the plan? What's the end game? Why are they rolling it down to Washington, D.C.? Why did they pick Washington, D.C.? Remember all the fencing they put up around the Capitol? Remember the wall they constructed around the Capitol?
Right.
Well, they were constructing that for this operation. They started this months ago, constructing these fences and walls.
Yep, many months ago. And as far as I know, the critical elements of the federal government have moved out of D.C. anyway.
Yes, they're gone. They're not in D.C. They showed the soundstage that Biden holds all his press conferences out. Not even in the White House, because there's something planned. And a lot of our people are going to get hung up in this. It's going to be like January 6th. A lot of these people are going to go to prison, these good, well-meaning people. Here's what you can do. Get on these websites. Get in these Facebook groups. Get in these forums where people are talking about this convoy and how great it is, and straighten them out. Tell them not to donate. Go make them throw you out of the group. Tell them not to donate. Here's the reason why you don't donate. Here's why this will fail. Guys, we have the knowledge. Me, Dan, the people in the chat here, and some people are listening to this. We have the knowledge of what's really taking place here. Don't be fooled by this stuff, guys and ladies. Please stop being fooled by this. This is only going to be danger for us. What's going to happen? They're going to call it white supremacy if something happens in D.C. there. The white supremacist truckers have done this to your country. The white supremacist truckers brought bombs into D.C. and they blew up buildings. They blew up trucks.
Well, look how they orchestrated the whole January 6th thing by goading people to come there. Trump
right.
did that.
Right.
And
you
then that
help?
Whole false flag was done and everybody was demonized.
Right. You want to help our people, inform them of this deception that's taking place. Do I think it's great the trucks are rolling
Amen.
Down? Yeah, I think it's great the trucks are rolling down because I despise these guys. I despise these serpent seed bastards. I hate them like King David hated them with a perfect hatred. I hate them. I would cut their heads off if I could and not even think twice about it. Despise them. They're disgusting. Look what they're doing to your children. You better start hating them.
Look what they're doing to the Ukrainians.
Look what they're doing to the Ukrainian people, our white Christian Ukrainian people over there. They're doing it again. They're going to starve them out again. There's no food in the grocery stores over in the damn Ukraine. Do you get it yet? They keep on putting all these pictures
they murder
up
them.
These fake videos on Twitter, these fake pictures, there's all this nonsense. Stop falling for their nonsense. These are mass murdering pedophile satanic killers who are coming for you and your family. You better understand that. You better understand it quick. Anybody,
Amen.
Any of your friends? I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead. I've had the floor for too long.
I'm just going to say you're right. We're in a war, and it's about time you take it seriously and start thinking of yourself as a soldier in a war. And along with what Keith is saying, what is it that the enemy hates? That tells you where you should be putting your efforts to destroy them. Their efforts aren't in trying to actually destroy any of these, like the convoys and all that stuff. But one thing that the Jew does cry and bemoan is something called the BDS movement, which is boycott, divest, and sanction. In other words, the BDS movement against the Israeli Jew and all the Jews, actually, but particularly the Israeli and American Jews that are running the show. Boycott them, divest in any of their holdings or companies, and put your own personal sanctions on them. Again, what got the most attention in Canada was the people simply going down to the bank and saying, I want my money.
Right.
That simple act only took maybe 20 minutes out of their day. Just walk in, go up to the teller and go, you know what? Give me my money.
Right. Go do it Monday. Go down to the bank on Monday. That's what you can do. You want to help? You want to help this out? You want to help this cause out? If you want to call it a cause, you want to help this thing out? Go down to the bank, withdraw all of your money except a couple bucks you need to pay bills. If everybody did that, the whole beast system comes down and crashes into the ground. Okay, that's what we want to have happen here. We want that because you ain't reviving this thing. This thing's on life support. The paddles are out. It's on life support. Go pull your money out of the bank. We don't keep money in banks. I keep enough money in the bank to pay bills. Been doing this for 10 years now. Okay, that's how you hurt these scumbags, is you do that. Holding signs up in the street does not hurt them. They laugh at that. They chuckle as they're sitting around their giant tables in their mansion eating gourmet foods that their chef just prepared and drinking $2,000 bottles of wine. They sit and laugh at you. Look at these dumbasses holding their signs up. Do they really think we care about signs or optics? You think they care about optics? They could care less. We are so far beyond that point. It's not even funny. We are beyond all of that stuff. They are out in the open, in your face. There's no more curtain. The curtain is gone. There's no more wizard behind the curtain. The wizard has revealed himself. That's how far we are. Now it's time to do real things that will hurt this system. And the number one thing you can do as of now, in Ralph's opinion, in my opinion, is take your money out of the bank. Go down there Monday morning, take your money out of the bank, and you just did your job for the day. That hurts these people worse than anything that you can possibly do to them. Forget about the convoys. Forget about the protest. You're going to see, guys. I'm telling you, you're going to see. This is going to be very bad. What's going to happen when these truckers all get to D.C.? It's going to be very bad. Mark my words. And if I'm wrong, great. I hope I am wrong. I hope I'm wrong about all this. Believe me, I don't want to be right because I don't want to go through what's coming. And anyone who says they want to go through what's coming is not being truthful with themselves. It's going to get so difficult coming up here. I just read to you by Forbes. The vaccine passport is here. They're rolling it out. They're just not telling you they're rolling it out because it has to be all in place. Once it's all in place, then they're going to flip the switch. You're not going to be able to go anywhere. So start warning your friends about that. This is what's important, guys. Warn your friends. They need to get close with Jesus Christ. Okay? They must. Without Christ, without God, we have nothing. What are they always chanting in this convoy, right? What do I always hear in these videos? USA, USA, USA. There's never any mention of Jesus. They're mentioning a country, a landmass. They're chanting for a landmass. What do they want to save? I guess they want to save the trannies reading the kids in the library. Is that what they want to save? That's why they're chanting USA? Or are they
maybe
chanting...
it's the bombers that have bombed hundreds of thousands of people to death.
Possibly. I mean, what are they chanting this for? I haven't been able to understand this for a long time. You think our Heavenly Father wants you chanting USA? He's the one who's inflicting the punishment on this place. Are you kidding me? God bless America? What are we blessing? Are we blessing all the aborted babies? Is that what we're blessing, Dan? I mean, are we blessing that? Are we blessing...
I've said it for years, Keith.
I mean, yeah, well,
I've said it for years. What in the hell would he bless the United States or actually any Western nation? Why would he bless any of them?
We embracing the I mean, we blessing the embracement of homosexuality? Is that what we're embracing? Global homo world? I mean, think about this stuff, guys. You got to think about this stuff deeply. Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, believe me, guys, this sounds wonderful to me. Like I said, I love that they're doing this, but it's not going to accomplish anything, right? It's the optics that I love. I love the feel-good feeling of all the truck drivers getting together in USA, this, that, and the other thing. But deep down inside, we all know. Well, anyone who's awake knows. I mean, really awake knows that this is a false premise, a phony thing. That we have to warn our brothers and sisters about, just like I tried to warn people about January 6th. That's what I was doing. I wasn't going gung-ho about it. I was warning people. They still went anyway. I know a couple from Arizona that went down there to D.C. January 6th. I warned them. They don't want to listen. They think they know it all. It goes back to the Romans verse we read earlier, right? They're boastful. They're full of false pride. Right? It all goes back to that what we read earlier a couple hours ago here on the program here. So, guys, think about that. Think about what I said. Really, think about it.
Think about this. If these convoys had trucks full of weapons and ammunition and met all of these people in D.C. and every other capital, and we threw all these bastards that are in government today out, now you have accomplished something.
Yes.
As long as your objective is to get rid of the Christ-hating aliens amongst us and to establish a righteous government, Yahweh would probably, just like he did with Phinehas, and I want to read the story of Phinehas here in a second, by the way, just as when Phinehas decided enough is enough and he applied his version of the BDS movement, which again is boycott, divest, and sanction. And sanctions simply means to impose a penalty on or inflict punishment on. So again, if the objective is to take back with force, then you can accomplish something. But I'm going to go real quick. I'm going to read it. Numbers chapter 25. Now when Jacob Israel was living in Shittim, the people became false to Yahweh, doing evil with the daughters of Moab. Okay, so what were they engaged in? Race mixing. For they sent for the people to be present at the offerings made to their gods, and the people took part in their feasts and gave honor to their gods. Oh, can you say the Israeli gods? Yeah, that's what our people are doing, worshiping the Antichrist. So Jacob Israel, our people, had relations with the women of Moab in honor of the Baal, or God of Peor. And the Lord Yahweh was moved to wrath against our people. Uh-oh, look out. Then Yahweh said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people, hanging them up in the sun before me, or Yahweh, so that the wrath of Yahweh may be turned from Israel. So did he tell them to get placards and drive up and chant, you know, F Biden? He said, no, take the chiefs of your people, your so-called leaders, and hang them. So Moses said to the judges of Jacob Israel, let everyone put to death those of his men who have had relations with the women of Moab in honor of the Baal or false god of Peor. Then one of the children of Jacob Israel came to his brothers, taking with him a woman of Midian, another non-Israelite, before the eyes of Moses and all the gathering of the people, while they were weeping at the door of the tent of meeting, meaning those of us that truly care about our race and our God Yahweh, we are weeping because we are ashamed of our behavior. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest. So Phinehas is in the lineage of Aaron, the brother of Moses. Seeing it, what was going on, got up from among the people and took a spear in his hands and went after the man of Jacob Israel into the tent, driving the spear through the two of them, through the man of Jacob Israel and through the stomach of the woman. So the disease or plague was stopped among the children of Israel, but 24,000 of them had come to their death by the plague. Now, the rest of chapter 25 is telling you how our Father in heaven blessed Phinehas in perpetuity for his zeal to protect our people and the laws of God. There, that's in your Bibles, okay? So all you Bible believers out there that love to call me a monster, a race hater, a white supremacist, take Numbers 25 and cram it where the sun doesn't shine, all right? Take those verses out of your Bible, crumple them up, and put them in your mouth and eat them. Because you people are hypocrites. All you shills, all you Judeo-Christians, all of you people that prance around that you love God and righteousness and, oh, I go listen to Kenneth Copeland every day and John Hagee is my hero. Uh-huh. Take that Bible and hit yourself over the head with it because that's all it's worth because you don't understand or believe anything that's in it anyway. All of you so-called Christian families that got neighbors, friends, and members of your own household engaged in race mixing, you're done for, all right? Done for, because you don't want to listen. You want the smooth-sounding words so you can go back to sleep and feel good about yourself when the word is telling you you're in big trouble and you're just not paying attention. Back to you, Keith.
Yeah, they're not paying attention. I mean, imagine, Dan, imagine if these trucks had big banners on them praising Jesus Christ. I didn't see one banner praising Jesus Christ. I didn't see the lead people up there selling, you know, asking God to lead us in this fight against the enemy. You know? So they have to involve God in this.
I have seen videos where there is preaching going on and
my wife just told me that too. Right, my wife.
Yeah. So there are good people amongst all this. We're not trying to say every single person is deceived and whatever. Just like when all of us went to Washington D.C. in the fall of 2009 for the great big Tea Party rally, where 2 million people were in Washington D.C. all day long. My family and I were there, we felt like we were in church. So the people that are rising up, many of them do have our Father in their hearts. But the problem is they're not the leaders. They're not the ones at the podium that are doing the talking. It's our enemy who takes control of the leadership. And just like these so-called leaders that are being, quote, persecuted in the Canadian deal, I'll give you probably a $100 bill that behind the scenes, since they were put there on purpose to begin with, the optics are that, oh, she's going to go to jail for 8 years, when the reality is, as soon as the cameras get turned off and our attention is put on the latest diversion that the media puts in front of us, she's going to walk out the door and continue her life in ambiguity, and you'll never hear from her again, and you'll think that she's in jail because of doing this, when in fact, these false leaders that are leading us astray, they don't get punished. Only the optics tell you that they're being punished. The reality is they're like Jeffrey Epstein, who's sucking down Mai Tais over in Israel or on some island somewhere, but you actually think he was killed in jail or died by hanging from a bedpost. I mean, first of all, what mental midget thinks that you can hang yourself from a bedpost? I mean, really? Show me. Take somebody somewhere and have them volunteer to be hung by the neck from a bedpost and do it. I want to see it. So that shows you the level of retardedness amongst the population today. They actually think Epstein's dead and that he hung himself from a bedpost. I mean, really, I'm sorry, Keith. Anybody that buys that story, I'm sorry, but you are so low in IQ, you might be part of what's going to get thinned out.
Yeah, Epstein is definitely sipping Mai Tais on the beach somewhere. No doubt about that.
He's a high priest of the satanic Jew. They're not going to let anything happen to him.
No, he's either in he might be in actually Thailand, right, sipping Mai Tais in Phuket, Thailand, you know, with all the prostitutes down there, right, and the underage shenanigans that go on down in Thailand.
Well, knowing Epstein, he's probably got some of the Thai trannies that he enjoys
right.
spending time
right.
with.
Right. You know, the convoy, I'll just sum up the convoy thing like this. It's great that people are trying to organize this stuff and they're driving the trucks out there, but in all reality, I think that's what they want to have done, and I believe that a false flag could take place down there. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think I'm correct. That's why it was planned out, right? You never let the enemy know your plans. Well, it's tough to do nowadays because right. these things are organized over the internet and they can understand what the plans are. But as soon as this thing was announced, I believe the enemy went into action to try and, make this thing out seem like these are violent truck drivers who are all going to D.C. They'll plant a bomb in one of these trucks an enemy will drive a truck into the convoy and pretend like it's part of the convoy when the whole 53-foot tractor trailer is loaded with explosives. Okay?
Well, they're criminal. Yeah, they're criminal enough to do almost anything.
These people don't care who they kill. Right? They
look
kill 3,000
Oklahoma
people.
City.
Right, look at Oklahoma City. Look at the trade centers. They don't care who they kill.
Right.
As long as they get their way, and this is how they get their way. These are violent, mass-murdering monsters who we're up against here. And I pray for our white truckers who are going down there because they believe in something so strongly that they're actually risking their livelihood, risking their family, and risking jail time or death to go do this. I think it'd be better if they all sat back and took their money out of the banks. But if people want to go ahead and drive their truck down to D.C., they better be awfully careful.
You know what you could do at the same time and really put a thorn in their side? Get all of your money out of the stock market.
Yeah, pull your money out of the stock market. Run up your credit cards.
And then don't pay them.
Don't pay them. Right? This is how you hurt these people. You hurt them in the pocketbook, as the old saying goes. Because like I said, guys, They don't care how many signs you hold up, how many chants you do, how many songs you sing. They want that stuff to be done because that means that you're doing nothing to them.
Right.
They don't care about the optics involved. They want you to do that. What they don't want you to do is go down to the bank and take out your money.
Right.
What they don't
or come after them with a rope.
Right. What they don't want you to do is stop paying your student loans.
Or stop paying your taxes.
Right. That's what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to run up your credit cards and stop paying them. Right? Because that hurts their system. It hurts their livelihood. It hurts their blood. Right? That's their blood is this money. That's how you hurt them. Because you ain't going to defeat the beast by waving a flag, guys. I hate to tell you. Not the way it works. And we all know this. We all know this, Dan. Don't we know this by now?
Well, deep down inside, I think people know that, yes.
Yes, they have to start listening to that voice deep down inside. You want to help the situation? I'll say it one more time. Go down to the bank on Monday. Take all your money out of the bank. And when the person asks, when the teller asks why you're taking all your money out of the bank, tell them why. Inform them why and be blunt with them. Here's what you tell them. When a girl asks you, you'll say, oh, well, they're just doing their job. They have to ask. None of her business. None of the teller's business why you're taking your money out of the bank. None of her business or his business. Here's what you tell them. Oh, you want to know why I'm taking my money out of your bank today? Because I'm defeating the Jewish beast system that you live under, you slave. That's what you say to them. They'll look at you like you're crazy. It's okay. Let them think you're crazy. It might just wake them up. Take your money, leave the bank. That's how you hurt these people, guys. You ain't going to defeat them in the courts. They own the courts. You ain't going to defeat them in the streets. Guys, they've got weapons that they point at you and they can disintegrate you in the street. Okay, you ain't going to defeat them. Your firearms are for your home security and defense. It's not to go play army. Your firearms are for home security and self-defense if you have a concealed carry when you're out in the open amongst these monsters. That's what they're for. They will squash you like an ant. Look at the weapons they deployed in Australia just recently. What were they, Dan? Direct energy weapons or some shit like this?
It was like a focused beam microwave type weapon.
You going to fight against that? No. That's why it says, who can make war with the beast? Well, we can't directly make war with them in actual physical combat, but we can make war being wise as a serpent and take our money out of the bank. Okay? Run your credit cards up, don't pay them. Well, that will ruin my credit. What? Your credit? So you like the beast system? Because your credit score is one of the main things in this beast system. Let's say you need to go buy something. You need a new car because you need credit. Well, go get the car tomorrow and then go to the bank, take your money out. Then run up your credit cards, don't pay them. You got everything you need. We got everything we need. I don't live on this credit system here. Yeah, I've got a mortgage. I've got a car loan. I have to because I can't afford it otherwise. So you got to pick your battles. And small battles are what beat these people, not the big battle, not the big war. You got to win all these little battles because victory in all these little battles is what's going to win the war in the end, when Christ comes back with his angels. He's coming back, and we have to be alive when he comes back, because then we'll be enlisted for battle. But we can't fight these people. Now, they got weapons that will melt your face as you're standing on the street corner. They got weapons they can point at you that will give you a heart attack. They'll give a whole crowd a heart attack, and they'll drop dead. You guys remember the black rap concert not too long ago down in Texas where all the kids were dropping dead in the audience all of a sudden? What do you think they deployed on them? Heart attack guns. They got them, don't they? You've read about
them. They've had them for quite some time.
What do you think? Kids just don't drop dead, guys, in an audience at a concert. Doesn't happen. Does not happen. People say, well, it's the drugs. It ain't the drugs. These people are experts at handling their drugs. Their bodies handle them. They do them all week long. These are college kids. Do drugs all the time. What caused them to drop dead of heart attacks in a crowd at a concert? Beautiful day outside. Think about it. Mm-hmm. So they've got weapons that will squash you like a bug. And I've gone back and forth on that topic too, where I say, yeah, let's go out and fight. No, let's stay. Sit back and analyze this some more. Okay, now I'm at this conclusion here. They're going to squash us like a bug. So we got to take these little steps in the battle, Dan. And the first step, I believe, is to take your money out of the bank on Monday morning.
That's a step.
Step in the right direction. Can you cheer on the truckers? Yeah, you can cheer them on if you want. But instead of cheering them on, I suggest you let them in on the reality of what could happen to them. These truckers have families. They've got little children. Maybe it's a single earning household where the trucker is the only person earning money in the house. The wife stays at home with the kids, doesn't have a job. I believe they're making a mistake, because if they get arrested down in D.C., it wasn't for anything, but their whole family will be destroyed. Do you see what I mean, guys? It's not a Debbie Downer. It's not anything like that. It's just another way to look at things like this. There's little things that we can do that will be more effective than what's happening here. Hurt them where it counts. Stop frequenting their stores. Find a little mom-and-pop place instead. And I'm guilty of it. I order stuff from Amazon. I'm guilty of it. Because it's easy. Right? But I've got to make a conscious effort now to stop doing that. I've got to make a conscious effort to not go to Lowe's when I need something from Lowe's, such as hardware or screws or any a hammer or anything like that. I need to try and search out, I guess, a local guy who owns a little hardware store. There's some still around. I might have to drive a half hour instead of 5 minutes down the road. I choose to go to Lowe's, though, for some reason. I know it's not right to go to Lowe's, but I still choose to go there because it's 5 minutes away and it's easy. I need to take a look at myself, Dan, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. Gary from California is on the line here. So can you hear me, Gary?
Hi. This is Elka.
Oh, hi, Elka.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in about the truckers. Yeah, I have my big question marks about it. But the way I look at it is a lot of our people are under a spell, and it's almost like they were cheering on the war in Iraq. They're cheering on their own destruction right now. That's just how I see it. So I wonder what you have to say to that.
It's a tough situation, you know, Elka. These people believe that they're doing the correct thing. They're fighting this system, right? They're doing it the best they know how, because for the past, I don't know how many years, hundred years or so, we've been told to go protest in the streets, peaceful protest, right? What we're trained to do. We've been trained to do that by the enemy. When in reality, the exact opposite is the truth. Little steps in this battle. I don't know. That's all I've got to say. Dan, is that I'll end it with take your money out of the bank on Monday. That's how we hurt these people. Cheer the truckers on if you want, but remember, also give them a warning. Cheer them on, but give them a warning. Hey, you might be stepping into something that is way above your pay grade, buddy.
Right.
Okay? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, pick your battles. That's, choose what hill you're willing to die on and make sure it's effective so that you don't waste your life. That's something we should all do.
Right, and always keep in mind, remember this. So this last thing I'll say, Dan, is this. I'll end my comments right now. What I read to you from Forbes, Dan saw the article also about the vaccine passport. It's not going away. It's actually being rolled out with all these distractions of Ukraine and Russia and the trucker convoys. Okay? I just read the article from Forbes. That's not from Mike Adams. That's not from Alex Jones. That's not from Jeff Rentz's site. That's from Forbes. The enemies, as Scorpio and Giuseppe put on their show, that's the enemy's war transmission. Remember, they have to inform you of what they're going to do before they do it. It's the rules of engagement that Satan has to answer to our Almighty Heavenly Father. He has to ask permission before he can do anything. And he has to let us know what he's going to do before he does it, whether that's a little article in Forbes on the internet, whether it's some subliminal messages in some movie. Okay? They have to let you know what they're going to do. And that's proof that the vaccine passport is being rolled out. They're going to get it all in place, and then they're going to flip the switch. Can we stop it? Well, we can stop it by hurting their financial system. We can't stop it by holding signs. I'll end it there, Dan.
All right. Thanks a lot, Keith. Yahweh bless you and the missus, and you guys have a good day for the rest of the day.
Great. You too.
Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Keith up there in Washington State, and Alka, of course, is further down on the West Coast in San Diego. I just saw Ralph had posted something, our Canadian brother up there. I am critical of the trucker movement. However, in Canada, the government so overreacted that it broke the spell of the – or broke the spell in a lot of the Canadians around me whom I have talked to. And he also says, get your money out of the bank, especially in Canada, every last dime you possibly can, because the war situation is escalating and governments do crazy things. What Keith said about the passports, again, all of this stuff is a stage production in politics today. Everything on the media, everything is a stage production. It's a show to distract you, get you away from what the beast system is doing, and they're pushing forward with the idea that you have to show your obedience to the beast. That's really what the vaccine passport's all about. Have you allowed the beast to dictate what you put in your body, and will you show your obedience to the beast system by having everything on your phone in a vaccine passport? And then they'll just simply start tying everything to that that system, the vaccine passport. It will come to the point where literally you won't be able to get a taxi cab, you won't be able to get on a train or a plane, you won't be able to go to a school, which actually might be a good thing for us. You won't be able to do pretty much anything. And for those folks on retirement programs right now, it could be tied into that as well. So you think you're safe, when in reality you're in a more precarious position today than you've ever been, folks, ever been. And so you need to take some sort of steps, just like the Canadians that went down to the bank, as Keith talked about, and Ralph, and by just simply saying, give me my money, take my money out of the bank. They closed the banks. They closed the banks, much like the Jews did in America when there was a run on the banks just before the Great Depression.
Can you wait a minute?
That's how they do things. So pay attention to what the hell's going on, folks. And if nothing else, by you pushing the issue, by trying to get your money, it's going to prove that what Keith and others are saying on the program is true. Okay, but if you sit back or just do the flag waving or do your Facebook and your Twitter and all that, they don't care about that. Just as Keith says, they do not care about that. It does not hurt them. In fact, it shows them that you're not angry enough to do what Phineas did yet. It's when you're ready and you're angry in the name of the Father to pick up the javelin and actually inflict harm on the wicked, that's when things will change, and they will change rapidly for the better. Everybody thinks, oh, it'll be chaos, and it'll be death, and it'll be war. Look around you. You're living in it right now. Go down to the abortion clinic and watch what they're doing to those children. You don't have death and chaos and destruction around you? Go look at all the countries that the United States and you supported where they have murdered, bombed, used tanks, gas, napalm, and high explosive to destroy country after country after country. Millions of innocent lives, all in the name of keeping our Jewish allies happy and keeping the corporation's profits going up. And you allowed it. You supported it. You even voluntarily became part of it. And I know because I did as a young man during Vietnam. I actually helped keep those bombers in the air, to my shame. And I was considered a master technician at that time, to my shame. I put my God-given talents to keeping those bombers in the air, to my shame. And I have repented of that. I will no longer use my talents to keep the beast going. And I sleep better at night now. I don't have much money. But my talents are no longer working to keep the beast system going. My talents are being used to expose them. If each and every one of us just simply takes your talents and uses it in whatever way the Father leads you to, overcoming this beast and exposing it with truths, and then taking some kind of action. Again, the Canadians got tremendous results almost immediately, simply asking for their money out of the bank. They didn't have to die. They didn't have to get into a conflict. They didn't have to get into a brawl. They didn't have to get threatened with prison. They just simply said, give me my money back. I'm not participating anymore. That's all. In our numbers, a little act like that has tremendous power. So don't think that you're powerless. You have power. In the name of Yahweh, you have tremendous power. If you put it into action. Remember the scripture? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We're making our feeble human attempts to try to fix this problem, Father, and we're trying to get the word out and to encourage our people in righteous acts of defiance against this beast. If we are wrong, Father, then we just ask that you would silence us and take us out of the way. However, if we speak your truths, then we ask for your protection, encouragement, support, and guidance that we would continue to do so until you decide to put an end to this nonsense and raise up the Ezekiel 37 army, that we would go forth and truly make a change in this world by destroying every work of evil that we come across, no matter who it is and no matter where we find it, so that your kingdom will come upon this earth and peace and prosperity will come to all of mankind under your loving rulership. To that end, again, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.